I love that music. It makes me think about running. I remember the movie, and I suddenly flashed on, forgot the title of it, but it was it's one of those kinds of songs that can put you in the mood for running. And if you've considered taking up running, this may be the perfect time to start. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for spending time with us today on the Ideas Network. With us now, Janelle Dethridge. She's a board-certified orthopedic physical therapy specialist at UW Health Sports Rehabilitation Clinic. She specializes in helping people recover from lower extremity injuries and surgeries, with a special interest in treating injured runners. She also works with the UW Health Runners Clinic. So we'll talk with her about what you should know before you begin a running program. And if you're an experienced runner who wants to improve, I have some advice for you as well. So what questions do you have? I hope you'll join in the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Janelle Dethridge, welcome. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, not only do you specialize in running, you're a five-time Olympic trials qualifier in the 1500 and the marathon distances, and a four-time All-American for UW-Madison track and cross-country teams. So where did your love for running come from?
I started running at a young age. My dad was running marathons when I was a kid and ran a 5K when I was in maybe fifth or sixth grade, and discovered I had some talent, and that was it. I was hooked. I loved it, and I've been doing it ever since.
Oh, man. What kind of people would benefit, do you think, from a running program?
From our running injury program, a lot of what we see are runners who are suffering from injuries. So anybody who's struggling, a lot of people who run regularly incur injuries of the knee. That's our most common thing that we see. We also do some non-injured runner evaluations. So somebody who's maybe looking at improving their performance or maybe preventing some injuries. We'd love to see a little bit of a mixture.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know many people are looking for activities that are going to get them out of the house during this COVID-19 pandemic. Is running a good option?
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely have seen an uptick in the number of people on the trail behind my house. I think definitely running has become a good outlet during these times where the gyms are closed and we don't have a lot of other choices.
Yeah. And there are probably people who shouldn't start a running program.
Yeah, I think that definitely there are different variables to consider when you start a running program. And I think, you know, we always think about starting things very gradually and being slow with the progression, which can be a little bit difficult. You know, we a lot of times, you know, don't think about our muscles and tendons and ligaments, and we kind of think about how our heart and lungs are responding, and they're going to respond more quickly and probably tolerate things a little bit better. And so we have to think a little bit more about, you know, progressing slowly so that our other body tissues adapt and that we don't get hurt.
Yeah, I think when I started running a running program, I sort of did a walk, a trot, a run a little while, then walk a bit. Is that a decent way to do it?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to do it. And there's some great online programs, some, you know, they call them couch to 5K programs, even if you're not signed up for a 5K, but those generally start out with a walk run. And if you follow some of those programs, they're pretty reasonable and pretty gradual. But yeah, starting out with just interspersing some, you know, 30 second to a minute spurts of jogging in the middle of a walk is a great way to get started.
Yeah, and that it gets the heart rate up pretty well. Even in 30 seconds, you can get a pretty good jump in your heart rate and then taper off and go back up again. I've heard that's actually a good way for people who are interested in weight loss, that kind of approach is actually pretty good when you're getting going.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's good for a lot of reasons. I think it helps manage the injury risk. And again, like you said, helps get your heart rate up, but still manages that impact and those foot contacts and kind of keeps it to a manageable level.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have some callers online. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And let's take a call. Bill in Oostburg, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Thanks to the doctor. Thanks for the program. I'm 75 years old, had a surgery way back in September that took a calcium deposit off of my kneecap. Now, I admit I tore that first surgery. Nonetheless, I'm still suffering pain in that knee. I'm asking whether I should be exercising more or less. I do my therapy, which is leg raises and slides, but walking, I go into Walmart and back from the handicap station. I don't walk much farther than that.
All right. Janelle, what do you think?
So your question is whether you should maybe continue your exercise program or increase your exercise program?
Exactly. Whether I should walk farther, I should exercise more. Right now, the pain in the kneecap limits what I do. Maybe I should challenge it more, or maybe I should just expect time to heal.
Yeah, that's a really great question, and actually that's a common kind of issue in the rehab world is, you know, how much do we rest and how much is rest what we truly need versus stressing our bodies to make ourselves more resilient. And I think we're always in favor of strengthening, obviously, to provide more strength and stability and to provide more resilience and allow us to be active. But I guess I would say if the exercises that you're choosing to do aren't contributing to your symptoms and are getting you enough muscle fatigue that you're getting stronger from them, then I think you probably can do what you want. I would just caution against doing any exercises that are bringing on that pain, maybe contributing to some of the persistent soreness. But yeah, I think, you know, certainly strengthening is the way to go with it. And as far as your walking or any other kind of exercise, kind of following along those same lines, you know, if you're able to walk and do some kind of cardio that doesn't cause symptoms or any lasting symptoms afterward that hang around more than an hour or two, then I think it's fine. If your symptoms are lasting longer than that, if they're creeping up above maybe a 3 out of 10 on that pain scale, or if they're causing you to limp or compensate in any way, those are signs that you probably shouldn't be pushing it.
All right. There we go, Bill. Thank you for calling. Lori in Madison, your turn. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm trying to do a training program, which requires heart rate zone 2. But I feel like every time I do that, my pace keeps getting slower and slower. So I understand it's supposed to be slow, but like, my pace is getting, like I said, like I did a 10K earlier this year at 11:45 minute mile, and now I'm like 16-17 minute mile pace.
Okay. And to determine your heart rate zone, did you use just like a kind of a formula, like an age predicted max type formula?
I think I did the one in the book. Okay. Which was the age formula, and then you also multiply it by, I believe it's like 0.86 or some other multiplication.
Okay. Yeah, I think those are generally pretty good. The trouble is, you know, some of the calculations are pretty general, and so everybody's, you know, heart rate response is a little bit individual. So sometimes using perceived, what we call perceived exertion, can be a little bit more helpful, or an alternative, I guess, to heart rate training. That's something you maybe have to look into a little bit to see if there's any training plans that are based a little bit more on that. And that just goes more by, you know, you being in tune with how you feel and working, you know, at a certain effort versus relying on heart rate. Kind of just along the same lines with the same type of goals, but just giving you another, you know, type of feedback. You know, certainly some people like the heart rate training because it's pretty simple. You just follow the numbers. But if you're frustrated and if you're feeling like, you know, maybe it's too slow or it's it's not consistent, that would be an alternative. But I will speak to with heart rate training. I mean, it's going to vary based on how you feel each individual day. So it makes sense that the same pace isn't going to give you the same heart rate, and there is going to be some variability. But there, I would say if it's kind of consistently off, then perceived exertion would be another alternative for you.
There we go. Janelle Deatherage, our guest today. She'll be with us right up till 12:30. We'll be back right after the news to talk more about running. Talking about running on the show today, how to start and how to improve if you've been doing it for a while, how to deal perhaps with some of the injuries. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Janelle Deatherage. She's a board-certified orthopedic physical therapy specialist at UW Health Sports Rehabilitation Clinic. Specializes in helping people recover from lower extremity injuries and surgeries, and she has a special interest in treating injured runners. She also works with the UW Health Runners Clinic. So, questions for her about coming back from an injury, for example. What would you like to know about starting a running program? Join in. Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us at ideas@wpr.org. Janelle, when you were talking with Lori from Madison, you mentioned something, and I'm not sure if I had the term right, perceived exercise or exercision?
Exertion.
Yeah, there we go. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. It's basically a scale, a numbered scale that kind of breaks down how you're feeling when you're exercising and starts at little to no effort all the way to maximum effort. And what we found is that perceived exertion, self-reported perceived exertion, so somebody rating, is it a moderate effort, is it a maximum effort that they're giving, correlates pretty closely to heart rate. So it can be a way if somebody's training and trying to improve running time by doing, say, some interval work, some speed sessions, and instead of using heart rate, it can be another way to know, how hard should I go during this effort, and just kind of feeling out what you would imagine a moderate effort or a hard effort would be. So basically just your own perception of how hard you're working.
I would think the type of shoes that you choose makes a big difference. What should you consider when deciding on a shoe?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's, hotly debated. And what we know now based on the research is the best way to fit for a running shoe is to fit for comfort, which sounds like a really simplistic way to go about it. But there have been some attempts in the past to look at, say, somebody's arch height and prescribe a running shoe based on, the shape of the foot or the height of your arch, whether it's a low, medium, or a high arch. And there's just not a lot of science to back up that that's an effective way to prevent injuries. And what we find is that most of the time, if you buy a shoe that's comfortable, you tend to find what works with your foot anatomy better than going with any other method. So I usually recommend try on a bunch of shoes and just fit for comfort.
Yeah. Butch in Green Bay has something right along with this. Butch, you're on. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome. I guess my question has to do with prevention of injuries. With so many brands of shoes out there, is there one certain brand that you would suggest to use or to buy? Or
yeah,
any other type of thing you should be looking for as far as tread on the bottom of the shoes, things like that?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think there's a lot of options these days, and I don't think there's necessarily one brand that's better than another. There may be one brand that's better for any individual. And again, the best way to figure that out is to go to your local running shoe store and just try on a variety of shoes, try on a variety of brands and find what works for you. And I think, you know, once you kind of have gone down that road and explored and done the fit for comfort thing, then the next thing I would say is, if you're currently running in a certain type of shoe and you're looking to maybe make a switch, just be cautious to not make any rapid changes to the style of shoe that you're wearing. So for example, if it's a shoe that's really soft and flexible, you don't want to necessarily go with a shoe that's really stiff and inflexible, you know, just all of a sudden overnight, because that can cause some problems. So finding something that fits and that's comfortable and sticking with it. And if you're going to make any changes, make small changes rather than making any big changes to your footwear. But yeah, as far as the brands, I mean, like I said, there's lots of different options. There's no one brand that's better than another, just, you know, kind of different things that they market, different, you know, ways that they provide their cushioning, things like that.
You know, I was, as listening to Butch's question and your answer, I was thinking about my own shoes, the ones that I wear, and sometimes I'll wear the shoes a long time and then I'll get a new pair and it's like, oh my goodness, these are so much nicer. And I realize that I've used those shoes too long. Is there any kind of rough estimate to go in terms of how many miles or months or whatever that you should go with a shoe before you replace it?
Yeah, I think a lot depends upon how often you run and how you store your shoes. So if, for instance, if they are stored in a dry environment, they're going to have a little bit longer shelf life. If you're running on trails where they're getting wet, you're probably going to need to replace them sooner. And the material that the shoe is made out of can make a difference too. So if it's a, you know, softer foam, it'll break down quicker than a firmer foam. So there's a little bit of variability, but I would say in general, you probably don't want to run more than 300 to 400 miles in a pair of shoes. And the best way to kind of determine that is, you know, I usually just write the date somewhere on the midsole of the shoe, and then I kind of know about how many miles I run a week or a month and just kind of do the math. Because you could, it can kind of creep up on you. And like you said, all of a sudden you realize, gosh, these shoes are really old. And then you get that new pair and they feel completely different, which, you know, can make an argument for maybe replacing or purchasing that new pair a little bit sooner and starting to kind of gradually incorporate it into your runs. Again, just trying to minimize any abrupt changes and injury risk.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I use the app Map My Run, so I should be paying closer attention, and I am paying closer attention now to how many miles I put on, and that kind of helps to have an app like that.
Absolutely. That's a great way.
And I don't have one of the fancy new watches that are out there. Do you recommend any of those, or are they a useful thing?
I really like the GPS tool. I mean, I used mine for marathon training and tracking my distance, tracking my pace. So I definitely recommend them. I think there's really high-end watches that will look at your step rate, how many steps you take in a minute, and calculate that, and some different, you know, metrics that they can measure can be helpful. If you do come into our clinic with an injury, sometimes some of the data that the watches can collect can help us along the injury recovery process too. So yeah, they're super valuable tools.
Yeah. So maybe talk a bit more about the UW Health Runners Clinic.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our Runners Clinic is designed for, like I said, both non-injured and injured runners, although primarily the runners we see are suffering from an injury. And if that's the case, you don't necessarily need a physician referral to see a physical therapist in the state of Wisconsin. We have what's called direct access. So you can definitely just call, and I would double check with your insurance first that they allow for it, they'll reimburse for it. But you can just call and schedule with us. And the process is we do a full musculoskeletal exam. So we look at your strength and flexibility, how your joints move. We're going to look at your shoes. You know, we have you bring in the shoes you're running in, maybe, an older pair as well. And then if it's appropriate, we'll put you on our treadmill and we'll video it at a high speed and be able to slow it down and really pick apart your running gait and see if there's anything we can do, if that's a contributing factor or, you know, if it poses any potential risk for you down the road, then we can work with you on your running gait as well. And then we'll prescribe exercises that make sense for what you're dealing with, too.
You were, as I said at the introduction, you were a four-time All-American for the UW track and cross-country teams. Must feel kind of cool to be back at the UW doing this work.
I am so thrilled to be back here. It's been a work in progress to get back here, and I'm just really, really happy.
I bet you are. Well, let's take another. And Butch from Green Bay, thank you so much for the question about shoes. Mike in Madison, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good show. I appreciate it, Larry. Yeah, I did a lot of marathons and road running. Then I watched a film by Billy Yang called The Why. He ran a 100-mile race out in Colorado, Leadville. And I just instantly thought, why am I running on the road? So really got into trail running and ultra running. Enjoyed it a lot. Still do. Unfortunately, I had a stress fracture this past year in my leg doing it, and fully healed. But I can still feel it there when it runs. Is that common to kind of still get that little tinge or pull? And how long does it take for folks to usually recover from those?
Would you mind sharing with me where the stress fracture was?
Yeah.
What area?
Yeah, if I tibia, I thought it was a shin splint. I've never had shin splints before, and so I probably ran on it too long. And it wasn't a shin splint, so it was just right in my halfway down my tibia below my knee.
Okay, and you just took a certain amount of time off, or was there another x-ray taken to confirm the healing?
Yeah, lots of x-rays and MRIs, yeah.
And so as far as that goes, it's healed?
Yes, yep, correct.
Okay. I mean, I guess I would be cautious if there's pain in the same area. Certainly there's other, you know, tissue besides the tibia that can be the source of pain, some of the muscles and tendons in the same area. So it may not be that you're brewing up another stress fracture, but I think pain is our body's way of letting us know that there's load on a tissue that it's not tolerating for one reason or another. And I would just kind of tread lightly and not progress your running if you're still having some symptoms. I mean, it can be common to still have some soreness, but it's definitely something to listen to, and it may be worth another visit with your physician or your physical therapist to look at. Again, you know, is there something with your running gait? Is there something from a strength standpoint or a footwear change or some other variable that can be looked at that might be the reason why you're still having symptoms?
Yeah. Mike, does that help out?
Yeah, appreciate it. And then just the soreness, you know, as runners, we often push through that, you know, at what point is, you know, I understand pain, but, you know, soreness after that for a few months is expected when you're getting back into it, or is it probably case by case?
I think, you know, we kind of use a general guideline of soreness that is present during, that's very minimal, that doesn't progressively worsen during a run and doesn't cause you to change anything about the way you're running, and that resolves within an hour or two after, I think is reasonable. I think where we get into trouble is if it's starting to cause changes in the way we run, cause us to compensate, or if it's lingering for longer than that hour or two afterward, or starting to accumulate, those are reasons to back off and seek some medical attention for sure.
Yeah, there you go, Mike. Thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too. I hope you will. Our guest today, Janelle Detheridge, board-certified orthopedic physical therapy specialist at UW Health Sports Rehabilitation Clinic. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Nancy in Wausau next. Nancy, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, well, thank you for taking my call. I am a longtime runner, and my question is, for your guest is, how do you know when it's time to take a break for a day or two? When, for example, I have kind of a high hamstring, I don't know, injury, but it's like a nagging pain that comes and goes, really. Most of the time I feel great, but occasionally, and I can't even relate it to like an extra long run or an extra vigorous run, it just sometimes will flare up. So I don't know how long to rest, when is stretch appropriate. And the second question is, what are your thoughts on mobilization versus stretching?
Yeah, high hamstring can be a frustrating injury to treat. And I think, you know, obviously without being able to evaluate you, if it's truly kind of one of these chronic high hamstring tendon problems, a lot of times stretching isn't really all that effective. I mean, if it makes you feel better in the moment, it's probably fine. But how we approach that is trying to get some strength back in that tendon and doing kind of what we call like a gradual tendon loading program where you kind of gradually put some stress on it to gain some strength back. So from a rehab standpoint, you know, that's kind of where I would go with it. And, but again, if stretching feels good, I think it's fine to do. I just wouldn't really be aggressive with the stretching. And then as far as taking days off, kind of back to that comment with the other gentleman, you know, if you do have soreness that's lasting longer than an hour or two, even if you wake up the next morning and you're fine, I would say that the shadow of that is probably still hanging around. And if you go after it again the next day and run on it, you might start getting into trouble where it's going to start to accumulate and become a bigger problem. So if you finish your run, you know, you were 1 out of 10 in terms of that pain scale, very minimal symptoms. Within an hour, you're back to 0 out of 10, no pain. Then I think a subsequent run the next day would be reasonable. But otherwise, I would take, you know, if it's any more than that, I would take at least a day off, maybe cross train as an alternative.
All right. There we go, Nancy. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And another caller, Mark from Suring, Wisconsin, I believe, next. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I have a question regarding my hips. I had surgery on both my hips about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I walk now, but the pain in my hips is so intense. Should I be walking or should I... what should I be doing? I mean, I don't get any advice from you. Is it good to walk or should I just stay off of them?
Would you mind me asking what the surgery was? Was it like a total hip replacement or a different kind of surgery?
I had torn labrums on both sides. I played hockey all my life. And okay. both hips 3 years ago. And now it's just, I mean, I walk a half a mile and it's just throbbing.
Yeah, that one I would encourage you to go back and seek some medical attention because, you know, pain with that little of an amount of walking to me is an indication that, you know, either you just need another course of therapy to gain some better strength or, you know, maybe there's something else going on from a medical standpoint that needs to be looked at. I mean, unfortunately, we're in this situation where I don't know how soon you're going to be able to get in to see somebody or if anybody's taking patients, but at least a phone call to the orthopedic clinic where you had your surgery and just kind of let them know and see what their advice would be. I think back to the same comment, you know, only walk if it isn't causing you to limp or if it isn't causing, you know, increased soreness. But if it is, then again, probably getting back in and getting some medical attention is my advice.
All right. Good luck, Mark. Thank you again for calling. And Leah in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Leah.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've been having some soreness in my knees from having been running a little further and a little faster. Yeah, just having a little more time to do that. And I'm wondering if there's like some exercises I could do to help my knees out. Or something else to think about. Yeah, I've been running close every day. And like at night, my knees are pretty sore, like sitting around watching a movie. I can't quite keep the same position for very long. My knees are, yeah, they're just like talking to me.
Okay. Leah's knees are talking to her.
You're describing a really common running problem is what it sounds like. And you'd be a great candidate, of course, for our running injury program. I have a feeling I could pick up on a few things I could help you with. But just as far as, you know, kind of the quick and over the phone version, you know, we're all probably running a little bit more than normal just because there's not a lot of other options with the gyms being closed and access to other alternatives. So I anticipate you're not alone in having to make some pains. And I would say if you're running every day, the first thing I would do is just incorporate some cross training days. And if you can get out and maybe do some biking, if that doesn't hurt, or even just some brisk walking, sometimes just taking the impact out can be helpful. So giving yourself like at least a day, if not 2 days, of cross training. And, you know, you could certainly start some strength training, although it'd be difficult to give you some specific stuff about, you know, being able to see you. But, you know, working on some core strength, some abdominal strength, some gluteal strength exercises, some kind of basic stuff would probably be okay. It might be helpful. It could be something to do with, you know, running gait as well. But I think the first line of defense is just to back off a bit and take some cross training days.
And, you know, how does Leah or someone, anybody else, get involved in that program, the running program that you mentioned?
You just call the UW Health Rehab Department scheduling line and just mention that you're a runner and that you're interested in the runner's program. They'll ask you some questions. There's just a few kind of triage questions to kind of get you to the right area. And that's it. And then we'll get you on our schedule. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, and the for as long as you want, or?
So we'll do our evaluation. Assuming that you're coming in with an injury, we'll do our initial evaluation, just like we would any other patient coming into the physical therapy department. And then after we see you that first day, we'll make a determination. You know, sometimes we see people once, and it's something pretty simple, and that's it. Sometimes we work with people over the course of a couple of months, maybe once a week, maybe once every other week, progressing the exercises, monitoring their symptoms, helping them manage their training if they are running, if they've maybe got a race they've got coming up, just helping them try to get to the starting line as healthy as possible. So it kind of depends upon the situation, you know, maybe a handful of visits, maybe a little bit more.
Janelle, it's really been a pleasure talking with you today. I want to thank you so much for being with us. I hope we have a chance to talk again. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Janelle Deatherage, board-certified orthopedic physical therapy specialist at the University of Wisconsin Health Sports Rehabilitation Clinic. And part of that runners, UW Health Runners Clinic. Great to have her with us, and great to have you with us today. A lot of fun today on the show talking running and biking. Tomorrow, Bill Volkert's back to talk about spring migration and other bird-related topics. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.